This is a Doxcast, not an Argon Soxcast, or a Bendis and Loxcast. Now I'm hungry. This is a Doxcast. It's a nerdy Toxcast. Discuss a Moxcast with Rich Early and friends.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another independent episode of the Doxcast. I am your co-host, Josh Trumbo, and with me, as sometimes, is a rogues gallery of freedom fighters. We have John Leighton.
How's it going, everybody?
Amanda Leftridge.
Hello.
And Derek Evanson.
Howdy there.
And we are here to talk to you today about the biggest July event that's going on at Paradox, as far as I know, which is Nerd Dependence Day weekend. So, last year, on July 4th, we celebrated Nerd Dependence Day. It was on a Wednesday.
Was
the same day that a very specific Batman comic book dropped. And so we, at the store, needed to be open because that was kind of a big deal. And so we decided to turn it into a big thing with board games and all sorts of other stuff going on. And it ended up being kind of a big hit. Apparently there are some people that don't go out to the lakes and get eaten by mosquitoes and almost blow their hands off with fireworks. They would prefer to stay in the relative safety of the event center and play games and enjoy their comics. So,
relative safety.
Relative safety, you know. So we've taken that idea this year and expanded upon it. Since there isn't anything specific happening on July 4th, that Thursday, in terms of the shop and, you know, new product and that sort of thing, the store itself will be closed on actual Independence Day, so you can go and celebrate that with your family and friends. And then, over the weekend, we'll of course be open and we'll be hosting a whole lot of great events, sales, other things, so that you can celebrate your nerd dependence. So, we're going to talk to you a bit about that, and specifically about a couple of the games that we will be demoing. We just played them live on stream. If you're interested in checking that out, you can find the videos. There should be on our Paradox page on Facebook, as well as twitch.tv/ParadoxCNC. So you can take a look at those. We'll talk about that in a minute. But first, I'm going to kind of run down some of the other things here that are going on, just so you have all of the great information. So, for comics and graphic novels, there will be sales on 20% off all graphic novels. There will be 50-cent back issues. And, of course, there will be lots of other great comic books out there so that you can go and buy them and read them if you are looking to get into a new series. Or maybe you're not expecting to, but I'll bet you someone could talk you into one if you came and listened. So that, of course, is going on. Also, that weekend is the Magic Corset 2020 M20 pre-release weekend. So there will be events starting Friday, 3 p.m. and 6 p.m. There will be a sealed deck tournament on each of those times. And then at 6 p.m., two-headed giant. On Saturday, there will be a noon sealed and a 6 p.m. sealed deck. 6 p.m. two-headed giant, and then Sunday 1 p.m. and 6 p.m. sealed deck, as well as a 6 p.m. two-headed giant. So lots of events going on there for all you Magic players. So check out those things.
Not only that for Magic, because we are a WPM premium store.
That, yes, thank you.
We are also able to try out a new program that they're doing for the premium drafts, is bringing back drafting for the pre-release events.
Right.
Pre-release drafts.
That is something that you won't be able to do at any other store, at least officially. I don't know if any stores are going to try and unofficially run to some, but...
Well, that would be very bad for them.
That would be, because they could get in big trouble. But yes, since Paradox is now a WPN, is that Wizards...
Wizards Play Network.
Play Network, thank you. WPN... store.
Yes, premium.
Premium store.
Premium store.
Paradox has the rights to officially run booster drafts once again.
At pre-releases.
So, those will be going on all weekend as soon as they get enough people for it to fire. Basically, looking for 8-man pods, I believe.
I believe so.
Or 8-person pods. I don't mean to exclude any genders or however you identify. Sorry, is that too much? As soon as 8 people in the store want to play, and have the $15 to play, you will get some packs, and you can play a draft.
And win some more packs.
And win some more packs, exactly. So that's kind of a big deal. A lot of people love the booster drafts, have been missing it from the pre-releases, and now Paradox can bring it back to you. So come and tune in for that. But the real meat of what we're going to talk about today, because we are all tabletoppers here in this room, is the usual the board game and tabletop role-playing game events that will be going on that weekend. So, some of the details are still being figured out, but the plan is, on Friday, July 5th, there will be a couple of D&D sessions available. At least one of those is going to be using the Stranger Things Dungeons & Dragons module, which takes the Demogorgon scenario that they were running in the very first season, and basically it's a reprint of that, because that was an original, a second edition, right?
It was an original.
Oh, a first edition even. Just Dungeons and Dragons.
From what I understand, they created basically what was on script there.
Right.
But then, with either help from other writers or whatever, they did write out the whole adventure.
Okay. So it is actually an original. It wasn't like they were playing a module that
Correct.
Existed.
From what I understand, it was an original.
Interesting. But yeah, so that whole thing has been mapped out now, so you can play that adventure that they were running in Stranger Things, which comes hot off the heels of Season 3 being released into the wild.
I just got my t-shirt for Stranger Things.
I think, did you wear that? I think I saw that.
Was that like last meeting I think we had?
Or last meeting, yeah.
I was super excited because it was red, it matched my new hair color and everything.
It's good. Good to coordinate. So Amanda is going to be doing some Dungeons & Dragons there.
As usual.
As per usual. We're still looking to see if we can find another good DM, so we'll keep you guys all posted on that. We'll get those events on the website, of course, as we get them completely figured out. So that's Friday night. Everything, like I said, will be on the events calendar at paradoxcnc.com, so you can go there and you can actually RSVP and save yourself a spot at the table.
Which is a good thing to do. I did have to, last game day, turn a couple of people away because both of our tables filled up.
Yes, they have become.
Make sure you reserve your spot.
They are becoming very popular, and word is getting out. People are coming back on game days because they've been having fun, so Amanda is either doing something right or threatening people in some way.
I would love to see early bird RSVPs, because that might hint that maybe we need some more.
Well, that's exactly it. Yeah, the more RSVPs we have, the more, obviously if those tables fill up, we can look at trying to create more opportunities, even for that day.
Mm-hmm. So if we know soon enough.
Right. So if prior to July 5th those tables fill up, then we can see if we can find some more able-bodied people and run more adventures for you guys. So we definitely encourage everyone to go and sign up. Because the more response we have, the more demos we will do. Absolutely.
So would you say the Stranger Things module might be a way to get some of your friends and families into D&D that aren't normally into the fantasy theme?
I would say so. I think if what I understand of it is it is like written as a classic D&D, like old OD&D module, effectively. If they're into that like classic hack and slash dungeon delving aesthetic, this is the thing for you. I am still going to try to run it like an introductory kind of a session. In having a lot of repeat players, I'm noticing that some of them want to move on and do like level up and do the next big thing. And that's really, really awesome to see. I think there has been a lot of talk about doing more regular D&D sessions on other Saturdays in the upcoming future, which is really exciting. But I think for game days, our focus has been on introducing new people to the game and getting them kind of familiar with even the idea of playing RPGs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think absolutely, the module we're going to run is going to be a great thing for that. Also for anybody who just loves the D&D universe and has mm-hmm. some of that nostalgia for the older editions, this is a good one to hop in and play through.
Yeah.
Or if you're a fan of Stranger Things and don't know anything about D&D,
absolutely.
It's an excellent tie-in there.
Exactly.
It has all the...
It comes with a little Demogorgon miniature.
I think it comes with two of them.
Oh, it has two. Even better.
Two. I think it comes with a painted one and an unpainted one or something.
Oh, nice.
Something like that, potentially. But it's also, pre-generated characters for that, from the characters that they were actually playing as well.
Right.
Like Will the Wise or whatever whatever the name
was. I believe that was correct.
Yeah, and all of those characters, so...
Yeah. So, that should be really cool. And we do have a thing on the RSVP as well when you sign up. There's a little drop-down so you can tell us what your experience with Dungeons & Dragons is.
Yeah.
Depending on how we can set it up with the number of Dungeon Masters available at that time, if we have, 10 people sign up and 4 of them are advanced players or you've played before and 6 are new, we can potentially split tables that way as well so that we have... If we want to have an advanced group to play by themselves and then new players at a different table. It's all stuff that's possible, and it's more possible the more time people sign up ahead of time. So something to consider there, but it's also good to mix people up so that new players can play with experienced players and kind of use their expertise to help them learn and grow in that particular game. So if we haven't said enough, go and RSVP once it's up on the calendar. So that's Friday night. We've got those things going on, or Friday afternoon and into the evening, most likely. Then Saturday is our regular Fargo-Moorhead game day, which hopefully you guys are familiar with the concept by now. We've been doing this since February of this year. And it's been doing quite well. We've been having a lot of fun with it and getting a good response. So we're continuing it, and we're going all in. We're doing two or potentially 3 D&D sessions or more if we have the response. Those will start at 1 o'clock. And I believe we have it at 1 and 5 are the start times.
Yes.
So... we have opportunity there for you to come and learn and play and introduce your friends and family to it if you'd like. Then, and that day will be, at least one of the tables that Amanda will be running will be an adventure that you come up with.
Yes.
And have you already got some ideas rolling around?
I'm not going to spoil anything.
Okay. But... Is it somewhat in theme with the whole July 4th?
It always is.
Yes. Yes, which is awesome. Always
in theme with whatever that month we're doing. Mm-hmm. Not always July 4th.
Right.
That would be very strange in February.
My two demos have a very overlapping theme. Mm. I'm very train crazy this time around.
Yes. Yes. So as far as the D&D goes, that is... Amanda comes up with that. She creates the characters. And I believe you start them off at a little higher level, right? Like around level 3-ish?
I've got level 3. I've been bouncing the idea around of writing some level 5 characters too. Hmm. But it's just easier for a newer player who has never played the game before to sit down with a level 3 character because it gives them a little bit more... power, I suppose, than just a starting adventurer at level 1. But it's not as overwhelming as, say, level 5, where all of a sudden you have extra attack, and how does that work with your bonus action and other things going on, and why doesn't this character have extra attack?
Right.
Etc. It's just... It's more and it's less. It's more things that you can do, but it's not so much that it's confusing for somebody who is just starting out, so...
Right. You get a bit of a feel for the class that you're playing,
right.
So they don't all kind of feel the same, mm-hmm. but with one slight difference. You have enough to differentiate your character from the rest.
Sneak attack dice.
Yeah. But not so much that you have so many options that you're overwhelmed and don't know what to do every turn. And so you just have someone tell you, you know, you can make decisions on your own.
So a seasoned player is going to sit down and not feel bored. Probably, I'm guessing.
Hopefully.
If I'm doing my job right. But a new player is going to be able to sit down and quickly pick up on what it is they're supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm. Right. So yeah, and it is pre-generated characters, mm-hmm. so you don't have to bring anything with you. Characters will be there, dice, pencils, all of that stuff. And in fact, that's you know, something that we're looking at doing as we build more D&D events is having actual character creation clinics. Mm-hmm. And I like the alliteration on that one. I was pretty proud of it.
Good.
Thanks.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you. That's what I was going for. So doing some more stuff like that so that you can actually create a character and then play it repeatedly throughout some adventures and things like that. But those things are all in the works. We don't mean to get people excited for things that aren't happening just yet. Or maybe we, you know,
yeah,
somewhat
we
excited. Like, we want you to get hyped up. And if you are, if you want some of those things, definitely tell us. Give us feedback. Because that helps us to tailor the events and create more things that people want to do. Because ultimately, we can do the stuff we want, but it's helpful to do the stuff you guys want, because then you'll actually come and do it. So that's Dungeons & Dragons. That'll be going on, like I said, pretty much all afternoon, starting at 1 o'clock, going on into the evening, depending on how many people sign up and how that goes and how worn out Amanda gets.
Never get tired of it.
It's true. You're like a battery that runs off of player characters' fear and confusion. But we do have our board game demos. We're going to be demoing four different games. We played two of them tonight on stream. And so let's go ahead and talk a little bit about those. First, the games that we didn't play, so we can kind of give a preview of what's coming there, and then we can talk a little more in-depth about the games we did play. So John is going to be running a demo of Suburbia starting at 1 o'clock.
I am.
Yeah.
Yes. Suburbia.
That is a true fact. So, John, tell us a little bit about Suburbia.
Suburbia is a very fun city crafting game, basically, where you'll take turns buying hexagon tiles that are different building types from the pool and building out your city with it.
Mm-hmm. And the placement makes a big difference, so you want to have parks in a certain spot and to maximize your points.
Yep. Each hex, each building, each tile will affect the income of your city and the reputation of your city. Your reputation kind of representing your population, or your population mm-hmm. growth, I should say.
Right.
And then as you get further on in the game, your population will increase, and then at certain points you cross these red lines where then your income and your reputation then drop down as you start to get bigger and bigger. And then at the start, it's like at population 15 and then like 22 and then bigger gaps. But then when you get really high, it's like almost every two of them. So like at 70 and then at 73 and then at 76 and then at 78 and then at 80. And
right.
So the bigger you're getting, you start to drop your reputation as you start to get too big to hold that small town suburb feeling.
Right. So yeah, you can grow too quickly in the game. And then end up getting passed by someone later in the final turns, mm-hmm. and so yeah, there's a good amount of strategy. I'd say it's a modern classic at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Any sort of bidding or auctioning, mm-hmm. drafting, this sort.
To a degree, yeah.
Well, it's you have the building area, and the first two spaces are free, and then to buy ones that are further down the track, they would cost more money in addition to whatever the building itself costs.
So, yeah, and those slide down every turn.
And when you buy one, then they will slide down.
Yeah. So a building that at the on one turn might cost you, like, something ridiculous because it's expensive mm-hmm. and it's farthest down the track. If you hold off, mm-hmm. it'll eventually make its way down to the cheaper areas, but then...
Somebody else might buy it.
Someone else might pick it up. Exactly. So there's a bit of press your luck there mm-hmm. and just trying to strategize, watching what your opponents are doing so that... You can either snag something out from under them or make sure that they don't get what you're going for before you can get to it.
And they have a couple basic buildings types that are pretty cheap if you just wanted to try to get those. And then if you're out of money, typically you'll be able to buy one or two buildings, but then you'll be out until your income gets high enough again. But you can also then instead turn a tile into a lake.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to place lakes out, and then lake property gives you some money back in return. So
right, because everyone wants to have a lake cabin.
Yes.
Love living next to the lakes. If you're familiar with Castles of Mad King Ludwig, same designer, has a similar sort of mechanic mm-hmm. in it. Suburbia is, I don't think it was necessarily his first game that was published, but one of his
Suburbia earliest. Is one of the, yeah, was definitely the earlier one of that genre.
Yeah. Ted Alsbach, who also did One Night Ultimate Werewolf and all of mm-hmm. those iterations, Castle of Mad King Ludwig and all the things connected with that. And very, very cool designer lots of interesting designs. But yeah, this is definitely one of his best known. It just went through, I think there was a Kickstarter for like a deluxe anniversary edition type thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, definitely recommend giving that a try. It can play up to four players, I believe.
I believe it's four players, yes.
So, get in.
And you were saying how the lakes, you know, like, everybody wants to be by the lakes. One of my favorite strategies is to build a nice lake. Obviously, there's some goals, too, that might differ on how you mm-hmm. want to play. Mm-hmm. But I like to build a nice lake area and then put all of my heavy factories and landfills next to it.
Oh, to pollute it?
No, you don't. You don't pollute the lake in the game. I assume they dump. But they would.
Industrial waste and...
However, because those would typically give penalties if they're next to, like, residential areas and whatever.
Oh, sure.
But they don't give penalties if they're next to lakes. So.
Right. There you go.
So it's, like, fine.
Sharing some strategies there.
Yeah. Heavy factories and landfills on one side of the lake, and then all the airports on the other side of the lake.
It's perfect.
Perfect.
No real-world consequences whatsoever.
Yep. You don't actually have to bribe any officials in this game.
True.
It's just taken for granted. It's just in there. So that's Suburbia. That'll be going from 1 to 3 p.m., so you can hop in and get a game. So we'll check that out. The other game that we haven't played yet, that we didn't play tonight, is Whistle Stop, and Derek's going to be running that one. So, Derek, what can you tell us about Whistle Stop?
Oh, my first thought is I really like the Americana theme that we're doing, so mm-hmm. I kind of looked at two like train-based games, but was not Ticket to Ride.
Yeah.
And I picked one on the higher end of the difficulty complexity spectrum and one on the lighter end. So that's how we got Colt Express, and then Whistle Stop would be a little bit higher. I'd mm-hmm. say maybe around Suburbia-ish. Mm-hmm. In fact, it also has hexagons, where you are trying to get your trains from one side of the board to the other side of the board. And the trains that do that so faster, they get more resources, bonus resources of your choice. While you're placing down your hexagons, you're building this track. And as your train passes over different stations and different resources, you collect them.
Okay.
So it's kind of a... constantly rebuilding and adjusting your strategy and seeing what your opponents do. You each get about four trains, and you each take turns moving them of your choice. So you can at one point just abandon one end of the board in order to try to get the front of the end of the board. And there are ways to actually block other players.
Oh, nice.
So it can get mean if you have some mean friends, but... some nice randomness. The board gets seeded differently, so each game I've played so far has been different. And I just love the art. Definitely has this nice, minimalistic green with trees.
Mm. Nice. And just taking a look here while you're describing it, it just came out in 2017, so this is fairly new.
Oh, yeah.
In terms of games. And it has, I believe it has won some awards. I'm just trying to see if I can find those here because it's
definitely a game I think a lot of people missed. I do know a couple of my friends have it. I'm surprised not more people do.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think for a while it was difficult to get your hands on because it got a lot of good buzz and then it, sold out very quickly. And it was out of print for a little while, mm-hmm. but of course, you know, 2017.
I think it's with Bezier Games, is that right?
It is, yeah.
So I think Bezier Games, they also had a huge werewolf expansion of their game line, so they kind of switched some of their printing, maybe.
Yeah, yep, that could very well be. And I'm having trouble finding the any of the awards, but I know that it was very well received, and it's a game that has got a lot of good praise. Since it came out, so definitely a good one to try, especially if you haven't had a chance to, because you know when when you have, you know, thousands of games or whatever coming out every year, when those ones come up that are pretty universally...
It's definitely the games that have tend to have the higher complexity that a lot of us players like. They also tend to go up in price. So you kind of want to need to start picking and choosing, and demoing them is a way of being an educated customer.
Yeah, consumer. Absolutely. Because, and again, I don't have the price handy. Let's see.
I'm guessing it'd be between $60 and $70.
Yeah, I was going to say it's... retails for $59.99. It's definitely, you know, when you get up to especially that price range, most of us don't necessarily have the funds to just go, well, why not, and pick it up. If I don't like it, then who cares? So this is a great opportunity to try the game out, see if you like it, and if you do, then hopefully we'll have some copies on hand. We're working on getting some onto the shelf so that you can just turn around and pick them up.
I'm also in this weird moment where I'm reorganizing all my board game shelves, and I'm looking for games that have that nice uniform square box.
Oh, yeah.
Gloomhaven, Seventh Continent, all those are ruining that, though.
They will. I remember when I started getting The Simpsons on DVD, how they had the nice uniform boxes, and then they released the ones where it was like the faces on the cover. So it was like a, you know, vacuum-formed covers, and it's like, that's neat, but it doesn't fit the rest of my collection.
DVD to Blu-ray, like,
That's another conversation for a different podcast, I think. Getting a little off the rails. Eh? What? So that's...
Way to bring it back.
Thank you.
There we go.
Whistle stop. So that demo is going to be starting at 3:30, right after Suburbia, or shortly after Suburbia finishes up. So, yeah, let's go ahead and talk about the other two games. We'll start with Colt Express, because you mentioned it's a nice segue with the trains there.
Yeah. So definitely one thing I really want to point out about Colt Express is when a lot of people are looking for, like, games for kids that teach, like, programming, this has that aspect where you are playing cards based upon the train track is happening. So you could be going underneath a tunnel, and you could be going straight. You might have to do two additions at the same time. And you're playing down to these cards as you go from active player all the way around. And then at the very end, you'll take that deck of cards, and you'll play them in the order in which they've been played. Mm-hmm. So you might want to go up the train, and then you want to go across, and then you want to go down, and then you want to pick up the loot. Mm-hmm. But then, halfway through, you'll see someone has moved the marshal, or someone has fired, and now you need to think, how's that going to adjust my future movements?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so Colt Express, the basic conceit of the game is that you're a bunch of bandits on a train with a lot of loot, and you're trying to do a great train robbery. You're all in it for yourselves, so basically you can shoot at the other bandits, you can punch them and make them drop some of their loot. The goal of the game, of course, is at the end, after so many rounds, you add up your loot, and whoever has the most is the winner. It's got a very cool programming mechanism to it.
And like it's 3D. Said,
yeah, there is an actual little cardboard train that you put together with different train cars.
The assembly's not hard, and there's this nice, like, the box fits it perfectly.
Yeah, it's got little hollowed out spaces in there, so you don't have to disassemble the train every time. It fits nicely in there, which is really cool.
Matter of fact, when you had Flip 'em Up, the other demo game that we had on the stream, I just really wanted to just, like, bring the train through the middle of the town.
You know, honestly, you could put them together. So we'll talk about Flip 'em Up in a second, but Colt Express. I was really, because I'd heard really good things about the game previously from people who typically enjoy really heavy Euro games, you know, with no luck. I remember a good friend of ours who possibly might be running the demo. I don't know if we've heard back from him, if he's going to be around and able to do it. But he told me how great it was, how much he enjoyed it. And that always struck me because, like I said, he likes the you know, very minimal luck sort of games. And this one has not necessarily luck, like dice rolls, but there's, you know, stuff can really mess up your plans. Mm-hmm. And I think the programming aspect is really interesting in this one. So, where you have something like Robo Rally is one of the very first programming games that I can recall. And with that one, everyone basically plays their cards out in front of them, what they're going to do, face down, and then you go through and flip them over and resolve them in order. So you have no idea what your opponents are going to do. You can kind of guess what they might be doing based on their board position and stuff. But this one, you're actually, everyone goes around, and so this card is played face up. So the first player plays their card, so you can see exactly what they're going to do to start. But then when you go through those tunnels, you play the cards face down. So there's this nice little moment where you're like, okay, well, they could go down, or they could move the marshal because I'm in this car, you know, and trying to figure that out, because that could change what you're able to do next. Or, you know, if I'm going to loot down here, but the marshal came and forced me to the top of the train, then I loot and there's nothing there. So it's very cool. And then as the marshal comes by and as other bandits shoot you, you get these wounds, basically the bullets, cards go into your stack of cards, and they become dead cards that you draw and you can't play, which effectively makes your hand smaller and less.
I've had a moment where there were about four people on the bottom train, and one of the players moved down. Everyone instantly is like, oh, let's shoot him at once. Horrible people to play with. But through the tunnel, he actually went back up. So he did a little trickery kind of thing, and everyone just wasted their gunfires because you can't shoot people in the same car.
Right, they're too close.
Yeah, too close. So all that gunfire, just wasted.
That's fantastic. But yeah, it's a very cool game, very easy to pick up.
I was just going to say, I grew up with, like, Parcheesi and Uno and Rook, as in Baptist poker. Yeah. my gaming repertoire was extremely limited until the last couple of years. So there's always looking at a new game that I've, like, I'm not sure what the mechanics are. There's a little bit of anxiety.
This sits on Gateway, like, right? King of Tokyo.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was easy to pick up, but it never got boring. Like,
yeah.
There is enough of, like, the way that the turns resolve themselves is interesting enough that it kept me hooked the whole way through the game.
And there are different train carts, and you can put them around differently, and then the gem setups is somewhat different. We actually played with the character abilities. If you want it to be even easier, you can take away the character abilities.
Right. Yeah. No, it's a fantastic game and very easy to play. It'll be going from 3:30 until, I think we have it from 3:30 till 5:30 or 6. So it's possible it might be able to even get in a couple of games because it plays pretty fast.
Mm-hmm.
But we just have the one up to six players can play. Mm-hmm. So we've got that up on the site there. So again, RSVP. I can't say it enough. Get on there. RSVP your spot at the table so that you can come in and just sit down and don't have to worry about it. But, you know, it doesn't hurt to also show up the day of and see what you can do. Because if you don't get in on... Colt Express is 4:30 to 6. I was still thinking of Whistle Stop. I know. John is very disapprovingly shaking his head. For those of you who are not watching the live stream or the video later, just listening to the podcast... you will know now that apparently I do not meet his standards of excellence.
Just looking back and like, yeah, it is easy to pick up.
Yeah. Ooh.
But, I mean, they wouldn't catch it on the podcast.
Oh.
I think from all the groaning. That
Have you picked up Gloomhaven? That's not an easy
it's,
game to pick
It's
up.
One of the best values per pound.
That is right. I will stick to that statement.
All right, so that's Colt Express. A lot of fun. Definitely recommend that. And then Flick 'Em Up is the fourth game that we'll be demoing. That'll start at 1:30. I'll actually be demoing that one. And that's a dexterity-based game. So essentially what you've got is you have the outlaws, and then you have the sheriff and his crew facing off against each other. And the pieces in the box are put together to make a little western town. So you have buildings like the saloon and the clock tower, you know, the town hall and the undertaker's office and stuff like that. And then a bunch of little implements that you can put out, like fences, cacti, barrels, hay bales, stuff like that. And you have your little meeples, which are actually bigger than most meeples, so they're little, but not compared to others. Right? This is quality podcasting right here, listening to me just run around in circles verbally. there are little discs that are used as bullets, and so the idea is you have your cowboys out there, and you put a bullet down next to them, either on the right or the left, because they can shoot with either hand, whichever they have a good aim with, and you just flick it across the table, and give it a little flick, and try to knock down one of the guys on the other team to do damage to them. And there are different scenarios that you can play. So the basic scenario, probably the one that we'll start with at least during the demos, is one where the first team to knock out three cowboys from the opposite team wins. And you have a certain number of rounds to do it. So the clock on the town hall actually has a little hand that moves to indicate what round it is.
So cool.
Yeah. It's just these great little touches that make it a very cool game. And so that's the basic of the game, basis of the game. And like I said, there are different scenarios, so it's not always shooting people and killing them. It's also potentially keeping the outlaws from poisoning the watering hole, you know, and any other kind of Western trope that you might come up with. So yeah, that's that one. I think that was, I don't know if you guys played that one before tonight, or was that new to
you
guys?
What, new to me.
I always heard, you know, some of the controversies with, dexterity games, so I never actually got to try it. I now regret not having it sooner. I feel like it would be great to play after, like, great Western trails, and then you can go straight into flick 'em up, you know, break things up, or as a replacement to, I like King of Tokyo as my baseline gateway game.
Mm-hmm.
But it reminds me of, finger shuffleboard almost.
Oh yeah, like, flicking that little disc. Yeah, no, it's definitely an easy one to pick up. You can play up to 10 people, you know, since there's 5 people on each team, or else just take turns playing the different people on your team, you know. So there were 2 of us on each side this particular round, so we just, whoever was closest to you, you basically controlled that cowboy. And
my team lost, and we still had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It was a blast.
Their team kept on shooting cactuses.
Yeah.
Yeah. We blasted a cactus pretty good. I blasted a cactus
pretty good. Blasted it, knocked it down, and then everyone just kept shooting the cactus.
And then I was like, ooh, I'm sensing this pattern. Let's hide behind the cactus.
Yeah. Yeah, because you can move and get behind cover. You can actually go inside of buildings in some scenarios. In that particular one, all the doors were closed. It was like a showdown at high noon kind of a thing.
Also reminds me of those Army Men video game. Really old game.
Yeah.
Derek says similar to finger shuffleboard or whatever. I mean, depending on your childhood, similar to paper football.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but the target's on the board.
Sure, you don't want to lift the bullet necessarily, but...
I mean, at that point...
No. You know, there's the old sliding to just get it on the edge of the table.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
I mean, I did flick one a little too high. It almost hit, but, you know.
Hey,
wild bullet. You did.
I hit that one jump shot over the fence somehow.
That's true. It was pretty amazing.
Yeah, it was pretty
awesome. Classic curving bullet.
That's
pretty,
right.
Pretty skillful.
That's right.
If only we had this filmed.
Right. Have to go back and check the replay. You know, it's possible if that had ricocheted off of something and bounced, then it wouldn't have counted, now that I'm thinking about it.
But it didn't.
But it was just a straight up, jump the bullet.
Oh, and the Cowboys, they can move, too. There's the move disc.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So, yeah, instead of just being able to straight up move them where you want to, you have to flick a disc, and then they end up wherever that landed, unless it hits an obstacle along its way.
And then you waste your move.
Yep. And then they're still standing out in the middle of the town, just completely defenseless.
I mean, games have been named properly. Flick 'em up and sushi roll.
I'm going to tell you pretty much what you're in for.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so we'll be demoing that. And another one that's really easy to pick up. It's just mostly you want to take a couple practice flicks with that bullet so you kind of get the feeling for it. Because if you hit it too hard, it's just going to go careening off the table.
Mm-hmm.
And you really don't want that. Because then you have to go look for a small wooden cylinder. And don't lose my game pieces, please, everybody.
Oh, I hunt down game pieces every night. Don't worry.
But I mean, if you play on one of these nice game toppers... that have a ledge, mm-hmm. but the playmats also, I thought the playmats really,
it,
really,
yeah.
really slid nicely on them.
Yeah, I checked with that enough, out before we played
with,
it.
With enough friction to, like, not just let it, like, go really good so you could
right.
control your movement disc. And
do you want to know yeah. the most common game piece that I find I add to Paradox is Lost and Found?
What is
it's
it?
It's always, like, those little golden cubes from Terraforming Mars.
Oh,
and
really?
Then the green cubes from King of Tokyo.
Huh. Interesting.
Very frequent. I guess people are like, they have enough of them. But,
like King of Tokyo, I could see, because younger players play that, and, you know, sometimes they don't pay mm-hmm. attention to their pieces as well as you'd expect the adults of the group to do. But Terraforming Mars is a little bit, like, how do you lose those pieces? They're awesome. It's cool, metallic-looking cubes. It's like, mm-hmm.
No, but that is the those. Last thing I do before, you know, lockup leaves. Make sure you're all no game pieces. I hate to lose mine. I would hate to lose yours.
I appreciate that.
I've collected many game pieces among my...
Maybe that should be another guessing game.
My favorite is finding all the wacky tokens, and I'm like, what in the world is this from? Oh, these are the Keyforge people.
Yeah.
Oh,
cardboard shits are fun, though.
Yeah. Yeah, because we have, like, the guessing game where you put out the punch board, so you can say, mm-hmm. what game did this come from?
Oh, the most challenging guessing game I have. I don't know when it's going to be happening. It's going to be a guess what game this meeple came from.
Okay.
There'll be, like, five red wooden meeples, and you're like,
well, yeah, they all look the same as this game.
It was really fun sorting that jar.
Oh, I'll bet. I'll bet it was. Yeah, last game day, if you weren't here, Derek took just a ton of meeples from his games, put them in a jar, and it was, you know, try to guess how many meeples are in the jar.
301.
There were 301. And afterwards, you had to take them out and sort them out again and figure out what games they went
yeah.
to.
And I didn't just take all from one game. I purposely made sure people can't, like,
yeah.
look at the manuals and everything.
Right.
So you could have done a little bit by now.
That'd just be cheap.
But I will say that punch-out guessing game, I made sure that every single one of those punch-outs was actually a game that we still had in the store. And games featured on demo days, such as the first Saturdays.
Nice.
So,
yeah, I know I played a game of Mysterium with some people. I demoed it for them that night, and they went, oh, let's go play the thing. It's like, I know what that one's from. It's pretty obvious after you just played the game that it punched out from.
The next fun, wacky thing might just be our Extra Life Day, probably.
Oh, sure. Yeah. So, that's a bit of a preview here of Nerd Dependence Day weekend. I don't think we have anything, aside from the Magic pre-release events, there isn't anything specific going on Sunday, but that doesn't mean that you can't come in. I believe we're saying open gaming all weekend long. So, if you want to come and play, we'll have the event center open. There'll be table space for you. Sure. So, recommend to come down and do that. And again, go to ParadoxCNC.com, sign up for the demos, reserve your seat or seats at the table if you have people coming with you. Give us some feedback as well. You know, we're out here, we're coming up with stuff that we hope is fun and entertaining, but if there's anything specific you guys are looking for, if there's a game you'd really like to try, let us know. We might be able to work it into a game day sometime so you can demo it. But yeah, July 5th through the 7th, Nerd Dependence Day weekend right here at Paradox Comics and Cards, Fargo, North Dakota.
Excellent.
All are welcome to come and celebrate your nerd dependence. Which is not dependence on nerds.
Geeks and dorks also welcomed.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I think we're all just kind of including it under the nerd heading. And also on ParadoxCNC.com, we do have a blog post that's put together that has links to all of the calendar events. So it's all organized under there with the Friday D&D stuff coming as soon as we get it all completely mapped out. Mm-hmm. So it's a nice place to go and easily click. You're at the event. You can go and RSVP right from there. So we try to make it as easy as possible for you. But all that being said, we appreciate each and every one of you tuning in, whether you're watching us live on stream, catching the video later, or listening to the podcast when it goes up, which will actually be tonight. This will be Monday's podcast because we didn't have one in the can. And we hope that you'll catch us on our Facebook page. It's also at ParadoxCNC on Twitter, ParadoxCNC on Instagram, and, of course, twitch.tv/ParadoxCNC for streaming. We do have other streaming shows that we do on the regular. Tuesday night at 6 p.m. is the Paradox Comic Show, and it's Thursdays at 7 p.m. is Tabletop Thursdays with our usual group. This week coming up will be Gloomhaven. The next Thursday after that, if we can figure out dates, 10, 11, 12, the 13th will be Gloomhaven, then the 20th will be Betrayal Legacy, mm-hmm. and the 27th then we are going to be playing a role-playing game of some sort, continuing an adventure that we have done every June, that has had a session once each June for the past couple of years.
The Adventures of Winston and Bart.
Yes. The continuing adventures of Winston and Bart.
Yes.
In Technicolor.
Part 3.
So check out all those things. Come down to the store. Hang out with us. We hope you play some demos with us. And I think that about covers it. So thanks again, folks. Thank you guys for being here and playing games. And we will see you on the next DoxCast.
This was a DoxCast. Hope you think it rocks cast. Oh, look at the clocks cast. Until next time.